Jesus. We greet you from this time two different countries in the world. I am coming to you live from Sri Lanka, and my brother in Christ, Patrick Kabongo, is on the line today. Pat, you there?
I'm right here, man. How's everybody out there?
It's good, man. This is good. All right, we're gonna give this a shot. We're gonna see how well this picks up. Pat and I were having a little conversation a bit earlier, and it's amazing how technology has allowed us to be able to communicate all over the world. And we thought we'd bring you guys in on the conversation as we're having it, and just bring you in on the discussion, because we were just talking about a few different things going on in the world, a few different things going on as far as like nutrition, political, world events. And then we were like, you know, let's figure out how to get the recorder going here and bring you guys in on the discussion. So welcome to Faith Mix Global. You know, a lot of times, Pat, I don't think people realize, but a lot of times, you know, there's so much that goes on with just the ways that we communicate all over the world, and even in the realm of the spirit, all of us are engaging in the things that God has for us to do at this time. And I mean, we just connect up here and there on the fly as far as the kind of communication we have, but it's seamless, and it's not part of any kind of program or any kind of religion. So I think sometimes people don't realize that, but in the midst of this, that God just has his own priorities, and things are moving forward his way. But hey, Pat, how's things going over there, man? How are you doing in Canada?
You know, things are going pretty well. It's you know, the world is changing. The world is becoming things are becoming faster and bigger, and you know, we are all of a sudden we can bring down the bridges as far as communication. Even there's apps now that you can have, like application on your phone that you can call people all over the world and see them, and just having a Wi-Fi connection and being able to communicate with them and see them and speaking to them. And that's one thing that is like, wow, unbelievable. So it's a thing that things are changing, things as far as, you know, even as far as food and supplements is changing. You know, people are doing more and more and more and more research on sort of what's going on and how they can enhance everything and how they can just become a better, a superhuman, right? Like enhance everything. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, wow, you know, like where are we going? Because I remember when we were in university, and you know, like technology was there, and that's over what, 10, 12 years ago, and now it's 15 times better than what we have.
Oh yeah.
I just remember owning a flip phone. Today, if you have a flip phone, it's like, what are you thinking? Like, it's, you know, like, and you know, and phone are becoming more important than having a wallet. Your phone became your wallet. It is not your wallet, because if you lose your phone, people feel worse about losing their phone than losing their wallet.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, you raise a couple of good points, brother. Because so this time right back for me in Sri Lanka, I came here with an internationally unlocked phone, right? And which you can get an internationally unlocked phone, a pretty good one, for less than $300, or around that price these days, right? Maybe not the latest generation, but maybe one generation back you can get one. I bought it. So when I got back to Sri Lanka, right? I picked up an internationally unlocked phone. And you can get an internationally unlocked phone, a pretty good one, for around $300. I paid 8 gigs I bought 8 gigs of high speed data for my phone during the daytime, 7 gigs at night, so that's like 15 gigs of data. And I think the thing cost me like about $8 over here. So about 15 gigs of data, high speed in this country, 4G data, for about $8. Now, I mean, you know, that's good for like a month. And then separately, you know, I bought some talk time or whatever. But I mean, Pat, when I was a kid, you know, and I spent some time in Sri Lanka, like to be able to call, you know, my grandfather back in the States, I would have to, you know, you'd wait a month to make a phone call. And it was, you know, you talk for like 2 minutes and, you know, it was, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that. And it was several dollars a minute. It was really expensive. You could hear that signal bouncing off a satellite. I mean, right now, you know, the cost of communication and the ability to communicate has gotten cheaper and faster and better. We live in a time right now where there's more access to a data connection in the world than there is to water connections in the world. So, you know, you can see all this stuff coming together, you know, as far as like communication. And like you said, too, you know, people have these platforms, people have the hardware, and the hardware itself has gotten so cheap that it is creating both incredible possibilities and then also the possibility for just some real scary things as well to take place with people as time goes forward. So we're definitely in a time where things are speeding up, and I mean, these are unfathomable possibilities 20 years ago in the minds of most people. And they're here today. They're here right now.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing people don't realize. Things are going so fast. It's like being in a car and driving, you know, at 100 kilometers an hour. After maybe 10, 15 minutes, it feels normal. But if you speed up to about 140, yeah, you may think the first 5 minutes, like, whoa, I'm going fast. But if you stay at that speed for 20 minutes, then that will feel normal to you.
Yeah.
And then if you increase your speed to 180, you know, you may be, whoa, I'm going fast here. But if you stay at that speed for a certain amount of time, then it's going to feel normal. And that's what's going on. We keep on going faster and faster and faster. And when things come out, like you know, I remember when the iPad came out. Whoa, it's like, whoa, what's going on? And now, to go buy an iPad or a Samsung iPad at Walmart, it may be $115 or like $150.
Yeah.
Nothing. So now people can access all these things. And now, if you're really smart with an iPad Mini or a Samsung Mini, whatever you call them, these devices, you can use them as to do all your banking, paying all your bills, talking on the phone. Like, because once you have a Wi-Fi connection, it talks. You can do whatever you need to do. You can have set up meetings online. So yeah, it is unreal. Unreal, the thing you can do.
Yeah, and so, you know, what we're seeing happening, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, too, while I was on a drive, and just how, you know, like, what's happened in the world is this unleashing of technology where all these people have access to all this technology, but nobody's ever taught people any kind of restraints or how to use these things effectively or how to use them as tools. And so instead of like people knowing, you know, proper way to use something, they just been given the keys to the liquor cabinet and they just start drinking, you know, and they just, and it's like without any kind of restraints. And, you know, like, I mean, a lot of people, man, Pat, they're completely addicted. You know, like they're checking their social media every minute. You know, they're constantly on their phones. They're constantly looking down and they're missing what's going on around them. But, you know, we're living in a time where people are, you know, there's a lot of things that are going. And, you know, we talked about this one recently, but unless your vision shapes your daily actions, unless you've got a clear direction that God has given you and is directing your life, unless you've been given that, unless you're allowing for that to be what shapes your life and your activities, you're going to get distracted and pulled in so many different directions.
Oh yeah, you will. It is so quickly to get you off track. Because that's what the world wants. They want to feed you. They want to feed you the information that's going to keep you focused, and information that doesn't really matter to you when the real decisions are made behind closed doors, when the real decisions are made, at late time, like in the night or whatever, major decision that affects you, and then you don't even see that happening. And then when all these things are happening, now you have to abide to all the rules of regulation that they have passed, and now it's like, well, really? Like, I've agreed for that? I've agreed to do this thing? You know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things are becoming, technology is going really quick. They really try to get your mind off track, because if they get your mind off track, well, now they know that they got you. Instead of, you being focused, you being able to make conscious decisions, right? So that's the thing that we have to be careful to make sure that, we're always at a place where we are making conscious decision, and how is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect my family? How is it going to affect the journey I'm on, So, yeah.
Yeah, and that battle for the mind has been one that's been there from day one, that we come into this world. I mean, the scriptures instruct us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we're given that instruction. But now, that mind that we have that's in Christ, that's there's so much more that's coming around us, and people are literally bringing it to the point where that battle for their thoughts and their thought process is literally something they're carrying with them in their pocket, or just with them everywhere, and until this is where it sort of starts to require some personal stewardship, over our own lives, of like, okay, how now do you live? One thing I think that was a good thing that I did recently, again, was kind of, over time God has spoken to me different pieces along the way. And it's good to write those things down. It's good to, capture those things, write the vision and make it plain. And I think one thing that God kind of has had me do along the way has been to basically jot that stuff down, but then to remember that when you need to, to put that in a way where you can actually go through it and remember, okay, this is who you are. This is God's purpose for you. This is, what you're supposed to be about and your time in the earth, because we can forget, and I think a big part of what happens in the world is the world tries to make you forget your identity in Christ. They want you to identify with something else. One thing we've talked a lot about trafficking and modern day slavery. One thing that happens in the slave trade is one of the first things that they want to do is to take away your identity. Take away who you are, take away that your roots, take away whatever it is that connected to you to who you once were. So they will take your passport, they will take your, they'll try to break you of everything that connects you to anything else to give you now a new identity, a false reality that's not associated with who you are. And the process that the world does, it's very deliberate. So, but this is where the follower of Christ, you've got to remember who you are. You've got to remember who God made you to be. You've got to remember what your purpose is. You've got to remember what God's prophetic voice over your life has been. The things that He said, that this is who you are, this is what you're about, this is your merit, this is your value, this is your purpose, this is everything about who you're supposed to be in your time in the earth. And without that, without knowing that, without recognizing that, without being solid in that, you're going to be you're going to be confused. You're going to be thrown off. You're going to be going a different direction. So, and that's what the world is going to try to do. The world is going to try to push you in a different way. The world is always going to try to take you and make your identity something that it's not. It's going to try to make you. And this is why too. So if it can first scramble your brain, right? So for you to forget who you really are, then sell it back to you. So first it gets you to forget who you really are, and then it tries to push all these brands and all these other things. So it's like, oh, okay, so if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be a real man, you're going to wear this deodorant, or you're going to, you know, drive this car, or you're going to date this girl, or you're going to, you know, own this house, or you're going to, so it's just these visions of false narratives, false identities. But when you know who you are, then all the rest of this stuff doesn't matter, because you're going to know the difference. You're not going to be, your identity is not going to be wrapped up in something material and external, because it's something that's been revealed in the core of who you are. And that's been something that's happened before you and God in Christ Jesus. And then the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. So it's a huge, huge thing. And this is, Pat, where I believe the churches, the modern day religious structures, have been criminal in what they've done to people, if they were actually directing people the way that God would intend, people would know this for themselves, and they would be let loose into who they are in Christ. But they've bound people by a false narrative and a false structure, and they've destroyed people in their time in the earth, where people just sit in these bread boxes week after week being half-baked. And there's nothing there at the end of it. They have nothing to show for it. They've not progressed one step in their journey with Christ.
Well, no, they have taken a step back, if there's anything, right? And that's what, at the end of the day, and nothing against pastors or priests. It's just, they put, people really start to put pastors and priests at a place where they're not God. They're just, they're not gods. They're only people that decide to, you know, to walk for Christ. And sometimes they have their own agenda that they're pushing. And if you think about it, church is a great way to push a message out there. It is a great way to push messages and tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. And the funniest part, you will trust somebody that's going to talk to you for about 20 minutes, 18 minutes, you know, once a week for 18 minutes, he will talk to you and tell you what to do. And that will shape the way you're going to act during the week. Little that you know, that person could have been involved in so many things all week long and got his sermon offline of somebody else and just regurgitating.
Oh, I know, message, Pat, right? I know, man, I know. You know what, Pat? Absolutely. You know, I was talking actually today, this morning, with somebody about the very same thing, and I had to make this point. See, here's the thing: people misread and misunderstand Paul. I mean, it's a tragedy what people have done with Paul. And all right, here's two things to consider. Okay, one. The book of Ecclesiastes, right? So in the book of Ecclesiastes, yep. You've got Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and he goes through and he tries everything under the sun. He tries wine, women, and song, and all that that the richest man in the world has to offer. I mean, he went full bore, full tilt, and he wrote about all of it. You know, and he basically said, look, going to the full extreme of each one of these things, he's like, all of it's meaningless. And then he came to the conclusion of the matter, which is in those last two verses in chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. He says, now I'm going to give you the conclusion of the matter. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, because God's going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. And he's like, basically, he's just like, look, you know, in the end, you know, you need to be right with your Creator. You need to know him for yourself, and your whole life is going to be brought before him, and that's what's important. So now if you didn't know those last verses, if you didn't understand that piece, you're going to miss the whole purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes. So he took people through a journey so that other people wouldn't have to go that way, and you could save yourself a lifetime of expense and hurt and energy and all of that, and you could skip straight to the punchline, and you could pick up on the from the punchline, and you could build your life forward from there. See, that's why theoretically you should be going to college.
Exactly.
You should be
That is exactly that.
So you should be going to college to pick up on the punchlines of other people's life and work so that you don't have to go and relearn their same stuff, and you can build on that and then take it forward and have a proper expression of your own life, learning from the lessons of other people. Now, that's what a university experience should do. Now, Paul, let me contrast this with Paul. People completely miss Paul, because here's one thing. So Paul, bless his heart, he came out of, you know, a certain Pharisaical background. He had his Damascus Road experience. Prior to, you know, coming to that revelation of who Christ Jesus was, he was persecuting the church. He was killing people. He was or an accessory to murder, you know, with Stephen. He was persecuting the church. He was pulling people out of their houses. He was tossing people in jail. He was a terror. God met him on that road to Damascus. He had a revelation of who Christ Jesus is, and he came to God with fervor and with just his entire being, and threw all of what he was into his following and pursuit of Christ Jesus. Now, once he started following Christ, and once people started receiving that message of who Christ Jesus was through what God was doing with him, based on his knowledge, based on his background, based on his Pharisaical upbringing, he tried to take a similar structure to what he knew and what he'd experienced and what he'd grown up with, and he tried to bring that into the modern day representation of the body of Christ. So he tried to structure an organization. And what happened was, as he went and set this thing up, you know, and he, you know, they were out there, and he's trying to put structure, he's trying to do all these things, and it wasn't working. I mean, he was having success based on his human personality when he was there and he was around, but whenever he was out of the way, it wasn't working. So when he was in jail, Pat, when he was thrown in jail, all those letters, all those epistles, so when you read the Corinthians or when you read, you know, Ephesians or all these letters that are being written, he's writing letters from jail, frantically trying to correct and put right the things that were taking place in these structures of the things that he built that weren't working. So he was trying to make these corrections from jail and trying to hold things together from there. So people are drawing out certain truths, but they don't realize that the structure itself that he's trying to put in place wasn't working. So now go forward another step forward, and then you go to Acts, I believe it's 24, Acts 20, or yeah, maybe it's Acts chapter 20 or chapter 24. I think it's chapter 20, but where Paul is then talking, and he's talking to the disciples there, and he says, look, this is probably going to be the last time I'm ever going to see you guys. And he says, look, I know that as soon as I'm out of the way, that savage wolves are going to come in and they're going to scatter the flock. So he said, so I'm going to tell you right now, you need to earnestly contend for the faith. And he's telling them this, that they're going to have to do this for themselves, because he knows that the structure that he put in place is going to be co-opted by these savage wolves as soon as he's out of the way, as soon as him as a human being and a human personality is out of the way. And so then he leaves, he goes, and sure enough, later on when you read the book of Jude, they say exactly that. That savage wolves had come in and they'd taken over the church. So they'd done exactly what Paul said was going to happen. So now the end result of that is that you've got the very structure itself had been taken over. And so now, you know, you see, take that forward into what you have today, and people fail to miss the very learning lesson that Paul tried to put forward, just like Solomon tried to put forward a very learning lesson for people so that they didn't have to go through 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes and they could learn from those two verses. People have missed the very learning lesson that Saul, you know, who became Paul, the very lesson that he tried to share with us, which was, look, these structures, it's not what it's about. You need to, for yourself, earnestly contend for the faith. You need to know it for yourself. You need to know God for yourself. It is not about the structure. It's not about this. And that thing is not going to help you. Because as soon as the God-given proper personalities are out of the way, the evil ones are going to come in and take full advantage of that structure and destroy people.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So that's what we've got
today. Exactly.
That's where we're at today. We're at that place of that people have been destroyed by the structures that have been put there, and yet even in their own destruction, they just want to like what happened with Stephen. They just cover their ears and they just yell at the top of their lungs when you tell them the emperor's got no clothes. So the destruction has continued to go forward. Now we're at a crucial spot, because the thing is too is that people's souls are in the balance. But another piece though too, Pat, I've thought about this as well, is that like there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that choose this. You know, they don't want the truth. And they don't want to know the truth. Like they maybe want to know the truth so that they can consider it, but they don't want to make any life change.
No, because they're happy where they are. They figure, you know, I got a good job. I make some decent money. I go on vacation maybe a couple times a year. I look fairly okay. I'm fairly healthy. So why would I change anything? Until something happens and then changes their lives. Or the doctor comes in and tells them, hey, you have cancer, you have 3 months to live. And now they're like, whoa, I need to do something different. I need to turn to something that is better for me. I need to make changes. Until those things happen, they don't want to do anything. And it's funny because at the end of the day, it's just like, if you just realize that, you know, God does want you on a journey, and he's calling you, personally calling you, because he does speak to us. He does speak to us. And you know, it's funny because from the yogi to the Buddhist to the Muslim, they all talk about, you know, this voice that's speaking to you, the voice of common sense, they all talk about that. So all these religions, all the people that practice different beliefs, they know that something is speaking to you, you know? And obviously they decide to call it different things. But God speaks to you all the time. All the time. At a different time of your life, it could be at any moment. You know, it's like, man, maybe I should take care of myself better. You know, maybe I should go there because I just feel like going there, right? And there's a reason why he brings you to these places or speaks to you like that, because he really wants, he honestly wants you to be on a journey with him so you can maximize who you are, what you are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I really feel, especially now with what's going on in the world, and you know, we on the verge of on a major war. You know, you can see it brewing. It is brewing and brewing and brewing. They want this to happen. They want a fight to happen. You know, and you can see with the price of oil all over the world dropping and things are getting reset, and it's like, wow, okay, what's going on? You know, what is going on?
Yeah. I mean, so Pat, what do you feel, man, when you look at the stuff going on in the world? What do you feel, if you were to share, like, the priorities that people should have right now from what you see and from what God's showing you, what do you feel the priorities should be for people right now?
You know what? My take is this. Number one, take care of your spiritual life. You know, get close to him. If anything, get close to him. Number two, take care of your health. You know, and not by taking like supplements and things like that, but just make conscious, good decisions for your health. As far as eating, sleeping, the people you hang out with, the things you look at, the place you go. Take care of your mind. Take care of your body, right? Because things may change tomorrow. What if tomorrow there's no more internet? A lot of people are going to feel like they got slighted. You know?
Yeah.
They will. You know, I I'm always a big advocate. It's like, and a friend of mine told me this maybe a couple months ago. I was having dinner with him. He's like, you know, Pat, people are never ready for what's coming up. You know, they're always sort of reacting, right? It's like, you know, if you get yourself ready of what could potentially happen when it does happen, you can make better decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So being able to you know, I mean, knowing, you know, there may be a war, right? And people think, oh, it's only going to be in a certain part of, you know, like, of the world. No. It could hit us anywhere at any moment. It doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think that, I mean, things are going to be changing a lot next year and next four or five years. You know, things are going to be changing very, very, very drastically. You know, it's interesting to see, because even the next couple of generations are going to be impacted very, you know, tremendously. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how things go, right? And I mean, politically, I mean, it's, it looks like a lot of people are getting put in position that they shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, you know, like, you look at, you know, different countries, prime minister or president that they're, you know, people have to vote for. Sometimes there is no choice.
Yeah.
No choice. The choice is terrible. You know, how is that possible that you give options like that? Like, so that they're pretty much telling you, there is no option for you to vote for this guy or this guy. Either way, you're done.
Yeah.
Either way, they're both bad. They won't help you. So.
Yeah.
That's not a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's true, man. It's like one of the things that the enemy always wants to do is to control your options. You know, like to basically just say, here's what you've got. You've got six of one or a half a dozen of the other, and it's pretty much the same thing. And you know, I mean, we see that with information, you know, like, and we were talking about this earlier, that, like, I mean, in the U.S., for example, 90% of the media in that country, including the news outlets, is controlled by six companies. So when you have 90% of the quote-unquote news being, and the editorial content being controlled by six players, they can pretty much decide what they want the mass consciousness to be. Not everybody's, but the majority. If the majority is not going to question the narrative, and if the majority is going to be so busy with their own lives and just take these little sound bites and let that be what they talk about and what they make a priority and what they have to have an opinion on, then people are just going to be deceived. And they're going to be focusing on the things that don't matter when there's real things that they should be focusing on that they're not even aware of. So, I mean, the enemy has been brilliant from a strategic standpoint of controlling the mindsets of people. And with most people being controlled in their minds and taken in a direction that is just setting them up for their own fall, their own collapse. Now, you know, with where we're at, we're getting to a crucial point. I mean, we're coming to a place now, Pat, where people need to know, you know, and they want to know, because they also realize too, you know, that without understanding, they realize that they're in a dangerous place because things are escalating so much. So, I mean, I remember from my time in Sri Lanka, you know, earlier on, it was, and it's just a general principle, but it's only when something gets to the point where it affects people personally that they really cared about it. So it's only when something comes to the point where it will affect their stomach or their retirement or their ability to get food or to find a resource. Now they care. Before that, they didn't care about it. You know, and that's kind of one of the downfalls of you know, of like not being proactive and not searching for truth and not trying to find solutions when you can, is because eventually that thing just spills over and it's going to come to a point where you have to deal with it. So like, for example, when somebody, you talked about like health being a priority for people, you know, like taking care of their health or doing what they can there. Well, if somebody doesn't, you know, and they just kind of throw caution in the wind and they push that a ways, well, eventually certain things start popping up. And when certain things start popping up, then as that keeps going and that keeps manifesting and getting worse and worse, it's eventually going to come to a point where you can't function, you know, and you're stuck. So, you know, now, like, we're getting to a place where people are starting to look, and I think right now too, it's interesting because I think there's a number of us that, you know, we broadcast and we put information out there, and I think, you know, there's been really recently there's been just a big spike in people that are coming through and trying to check information, you know, on Brother Thomas's stuff, on Zeph's stuff, on Kunita's stuff, you know, like there's people that are looking now more than ever, but. You know, the window of time for people to actually engage, it's getting really short. You know, like people to actually get on the right track, it's getting really short. And people need to know the voice of God for themselves. You know, I mean, if they get on the right page, it's already kind of late, but at least they need to do that now. So.
Oh, exactly, and that's. And that's what's going on. And that's what the message has been. Just get on the right page. It's not about you going to go buy something there, you know, that you need. You're just getting right with God. Just getting right with Him. Getting right with Him. That's the most important thing. It's getting right with Him. You know, that's all you got to do. You know, if you do anything, get right with Him.
Yeah.
You know, get to know Him, understand Him, and listen to what He's calling you to do. That's all. It's simple, but it's also difficult for people to do, to trust that.
What do you think, you know? Pat, what do you think keeps people from trusting that, man?
Or their own personal views, what's going on around them, or what people are going to think. What people are going to think. It's really what it is. It's, you know, am I going to lose my status at work? Am I, you know, that's what's going to happen. I mean, that's what's happening, actually. You know, what are people going to think about me? Like, people get affected in so many different ways. So many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't want to change the way they are. You know, or they like living the life they're in. Or they, you know, for them, they just think, you know what, I'm going to live my life like this and live for 6 years or 50 years, whatever time, and then I'm done, that's it. You know, I'm going to make the best out of everything within that time. You know, people are, you know, they work really hard all their lives, and they put hours and hours and hours and hours at work, and then because they want to realize, and then when they're 55 or 60 years old, which probably now you gotta work till you're older than that. Like, oh, then I can relax. Then I can take vacation. Oh, then I can enjoy life. Well, when you're 6 years old, 55, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad place to be. I think it's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. But why wait that long? Why, yeah. You know? Well, wait that long?
Well, you know, the other thing too is like, I mean, there was a guy I knew in college, and we were talking about, you know, spiritual things one day, and And he pretty much said that to me too. He's just like, you know what? He's like, Ovende's like, I can see some of the stuff that you're talking about, and I agree with it. But he's just like, but you know what I'm gonna do? He's like, I'm gonna go get married. I'm gonna have a couple kids, and then I'm gonna find religion. That was the words that he used, right? And it's just like, it's like, you missed the point. I mean, you know, how can you make any decision or any choice right now in the world that you live in without, that's going to lead to life without the direction of the Spirit of God? How can you be able to function in this life without the Spirit of God leading you and guiding you and God protecting you and watching over you? You can't, man. You cannot do it in this life. And so when people think they can, what they do is they're going on their own way. And there's a scripture that talks about it that says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So people go their own way and things die. Your dreams die. Hopes die. You know, their future dies. Everything that they would desire dies. And then there's another scripture that says a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. So then everything yep. dies, and then people turn around and they get mad at God. So they went their own way. They destroyed their own lives by rejecting the truth and rejecting Him. And then they turn around and get mad at God. God, how could you let this happen to me? God, how could you do this? God, how? And you see what I'm saying? And then they put themselves in their own position. And then they think that somewhere down the line, they're going to turn around and then maybe get right with Him when they're 55 or 60 or whatever. That, you know what? There's going to be a time when people want to try to find God, and they were not going to be able to find Him. See, the thing is, Pat, too, that the way that it works is He's Lord, not us. So He's the one. He's the one that has to call you. He's the one that has to tap you on the shoulder. The only thing that we can do is respond. So so the many are called. So He calls a lot, but the chosen are few. The chosen are the ones that respond to the call. It's not the other way around. It's not a person saying, you know what, I think now I'm going to find God. No, you missed it. You know, if that's the way that people are approaching it, they're still trying to be God. They're trying to say, look, I'm going to be the one that's going to find God in my own time, in my own choosing, and they're going to go to the dock and the boat's going to have left. You know, they just think that boat is going to be there forever, and it's not. One day they're going to go to the dock and that boat's gone and it's not coming back and they're not on it.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's you missed the boat, and
you missed the boat. You literally missed the boat,
and that's a terrible feeling, because it's like, man, I missed the boat, and it's like, why was I thinking? Like, what kept me away from it? Because you have tons of chances all the time. You have tons of chances for you to decide to do it or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's really that. So for you to decide, do I want to do this? Yeah or nay?
Yeah, none.
You know, it's a, if a businessman would talk to you, he would tell you it's the best business decision that you can ever make.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
Why would you make it?
Absolutely. I mean, that would have been the words of Jamie, you know.
Yep.
James would have said that. And if for you guys out there that don't know, and we'll just leave him on a first name basis, but you know, one of Pat's business mentors and just a key figure in his life was a man named Jamie, who, if you ever met him, you would not think that this guy business wise was what he was, but he was more successful in business, and he was one of God's, than most people in this world could ever dream to be. And but he knew God. He knew the voice of God, and
exactly, and
he knew how to walk with Him, and he also knew a good deal when it was there in front of him. So he would be the one to tell you, you know, as well. Like, this is a great, you know, if God is calling you and God's petitioning you to come to Him, then by all means come to Him, because that you don't get a better deal than that.
You never get a better deal than that. Never. You never get a better deal than that. And that's something that people gotta remember. God always gives you the best deal ever. The enemy will come in and give you a very attractive deal, an amazing deal. And you may think, man, this is what I want. And then once you get into it, you realize that you've given up a lot more than you were ever willing to give up. And a lot of time, at the end, you left with nothing.
Yeah.
With nothing.
Truth, man. Absolutely. The enemy will offer you glitz on the surface, man. But in the end, it's just bitter. It is just bitterness and sorrow, man. And the people that go the way of the world and the people that take the enemy's deal, they're already empty as it is. And there's nothing left for them but misery and hell. I mean, they live in a type of hell already. You know, and then they go from this life into the next, completely separate from God. I mean, it's awful. So here's the thing. I mean, the encouragement to people out there is know God for yourself. Get on His page. I mean, it's a very simple prayer. And one my own dad taught me to pray too. Was just like, God, if I'm missing it, You show me. You know, if I'm off track, You teach me. You lead me. You guide me. It's Your scripture told me that Your spirit is going to lead and guide me in all truth. So I'm opening myself up to it. And I mean, Pat, we talked about this 10 years ago where we said, if everything that we thought was wrong, would we want to know and would we want to align with what was true? And we both said, absolutely. We would want to know what the truth was and we'd want to go with that truth. So, I mean, that's the way of life, and that's the way to move forward. I think we're going to have to wrap it up here. Just it's a lot going on here today, but we want to touch base with people out there. And first of all, wish you guys all a belated Merry Christmas and going into the new year as well. Just want to encourage you guys as well, just knowing, too, that in all that's going on in the world, that God is with you. If you be one of Christ, that you have the Spirit of God leading and guiding you, that the protection of God is there. I've seen God's protection in my life in incredible, incredible ways. I mean, I wouldn't be here today. Absolutely would not be here today without God's Spirit and His angelic protection around me at all times. Mm-hmm. And I've got to make mention of that because we have that. We've got that. And so we're here for a mission, for a season, for a purpose, for a time, for a window, for just a short season. And then we're not here. And we go on to be with Christ. So be on His page.
And for me, I want to, tell people and all the listeners, Happy New Year. It's been amazing, amazing year, and good things are going to happen next year, but mostly at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you have done, literally what you have done. It doesn't matter what you have said or what you've been involved in. If you're still breathing, if you're still drawing a breath and you want to turn around and turn to Him, just call upon Him. You know how it's not a magic, there's no magic word. It's just a call upon Him. You know, because just like when Jesus was on the cross and there was two criminals beside Him, right? Like, you know, at the end of it, one of these guys said, and that's just as a good representation. It's like, you know what? You don't deserve to be here. I deserve to be here because of sin. You know, because I've sinned. Just remember me in Your kingdom. You know, He was asking for forgiveness at that time. But He was drawing His last breath. You know, and I'm not saying to people to wait till you're drawing your last breath because, you know, why would you ever do that? It's terrible. Yeah. You know, do it now. But remember, you can always turn to Him.
Yeah,
and he will take you back.
So
and he will be there.
Yeah,
he will literally be there for you.
Absolutely,
you know, he will literally be there.
Absolutely, and that's the thing too. Like, because there's two guys on those crosses, you know, and one guy, his heart was raging against God because of his situation. His ways has destroyed his own life, and yet he was mad at God. And the other guy came to his senses in that moment, and Jesus said, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. So the point, though, for people right now is, too, is like the only breath that you have right now is the only breath that you have right now is the one that's in your lungs. So use that breath to praise God, to thank Him, to come to Him, to repent, to be on His page, and go forward with that breath each and every day in the direction that God has for you. And God bless you guys. We love you. So drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi to us there. And from myself, from my brother Pat, from Daniel, from all the rest of the people that we link up with, and we just pray for you, and we bless you guys in Jesus' name, and we wish you guys just an amazing 2016.
All right. God bless. I love you guys.
God bless you guys. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Bye.